I feel led this morning to change directions. Many of the things that Brent shared this morning were things that touched my heart in one way or another. And I want to be able to just share with you just a little bit to follow up on what he says, not just to make it a missionary report, but to give you a perspective of what they have to deal with as missionaries in Africa or in a third world country. In order for us to really get established, though, in the Word, I want to encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, Jesus is talking here, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I want to encourage you with a couple of things this morning regarding Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But before I do, I want to remind you of why we exist as a church. You see, we've developed a purpose statement here at Grace Brethren Church. And we're trying very hard as a leadership, and I believe as a church body, to make that purpose statement come true in our lives. And that is, we believe that God has set us here to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, that can happen on all levels, but in my mind, that begins with the person who does not know Jesus Christ, and it comes to us reaching out to them and teaching them who Jesus is and exemplifying Jesus Christ for them so that they can see Him incarnate in us. And in the process of so doing that, we end up having the opportunity of taking them and moving them one step closer to becoming a believer. Hopefully someday they would become believers in Jesus Christ. And as they become believers in Jesus Christ, then we start to teach them the deep and the wonderful truths of the Word of God that change lives and motivate us and change us into people that exemplify Him, people that imitate the person of Christ. And as people grow deeper and deeper in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, they become people who not only live for Him and exemplify Him, but become imitatable imitators. They become people that God can imitate, that God can use to have other people imitate. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And if you're walking with Jesus Christ in a deeper walk with Him, there should be somebody who is looking to you and learning how to walk with Jesus through you. It's not that we do everything perfect, but it is that in the process of being imitators, we teach them the things of God that help them to change the way that they think. I would submit to you this morning that most Christians in America do not think Christianly. We think worldly. We think in terms of what we're going to have to eat next. We think in terms of how we're going to pay our bills. We think in terms of when we're going to get to wash our car or clean our house or mow the lawn or whatever it happens to be. And we don't think in terms of when I do these things, how do I glorify Jesus Christ through them? We think in terms of the things that God has placed into our life and how we're going to maintain them and use them. But we don't think in terms of how God is going to use them to allow us to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God." You say, "Dan, I don't understand that." You don't understand that because you've never stood at a car wash and patiently waited while two other guys were frustrated that their car was taking so long to get cleaned and be able to witness to those guys because of your patience. To say, "You know, it's not so bad. Here, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Let's talk about this." You've never thought about it maybe because Jesus Christ has placed you in some places to learn how to exemplify a different kind of a lifestyle to people who are different, who need a different lifestyle given to them. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that we are to be witnesses in our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. When was the last time that you stood in a line and complained with other people for the long wait that you had to make, rather than exemplifying for them who Jesus was? showing patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Our Jerusalem is Atlanta. I have a hairdresser who's from Iran. I have a guy who I pump my gas with who's from India. He's got a colleague who's from Iraq. The people that I have my dry cleaning done through are from China. Atlanta ain't the South anymore. And you know what? God has given us the opportunity to touch a world for Jesus Christ right here in our Jerusalem. There's a strategy that God lays out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to encourage you to start listening to that strategy and using it for Him. And that is, when people are put into your path, He is going to give you the opportunity to witness to them. What you do with it makes all the difference in the world and how God is glorified. Do you see that person as somebody of a different color, of a different language, of a different cultural background, of a different country, and therefore they're unreachable for you? May I encourage you to do this? When you walk into the grocery store and the woman behind the counter is someone from maybe an African country, find out what country they're from and go home and read in the encyclopedia about them. Find out what their culture is like so that the next time you're at her counter, you're able to talk with her intelligently about who she is. If you meet somebody from the Middle East, find out about what they speak, find out about what they eat, find out about who they are, and use that as a bridge. Ask questions. You know what? It doesn't take long as you're asking those questions for them to start asking questions back. But I guarantee you, if you start doing this, I have to warn you, your lives will change. You will begin to see people differently. You will begin to see them not as people who serve you, but people you need to serve. You'll begin to go outside of your Jerusalem into Atlanta and around the area, and you're going to start seeing the people that you meet there, and you're going to say, there's somebody else I need to serve. And you'll start reaching the people of Georgia differently than you've ever reached them before. You're going to go on vacation, and instead of standing at a motel counter waiting to get checked in and having some harried motel worker start to get frustrated with you, you're going to have the opportunity to serve them. Because you're going to change the way that you function, and you're going to see that people don't exist to serve you, but that you exist to serve them. Someday, God even may take you across the ocean or to another country, and in the process of doing that, you may have opportunity to serve again. I looked at the slides that Brent was showing, and my heart went out in Mozambique. When those floodings were going on, I was praying for the people there. I was worried about what was going on there, and I knew that Brent was up to his elbows in this with his team. And we were praying for them. But you know what? I was wishing I could be there too. I was wishing that I could be there helping people to overcome the difficult situations that they were in. I was wishing that I was there along with a whole bunch of other people from our church, and that we were in it up to our elbows right beside them. Because see, God has called us to be witnesses in our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. He's called us to that. He hasn't called some to the uttermost parts of the world. He's called us all. But we need to see people differently. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, this is the classic missionary passage. But I'd like to bring you back to it for just a moment. Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. As I watched those slides this morning, that was the image that came up to me. People who were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. You know what? I see that same image almost every day on the freeways, in the grocery stores, in the gas stations, in every place I go. I walk into these places and I see people who are just tired. They're just plain tired of life. I often kid Ron Batroff. I tell him often, "You're lucky you haven't been hit." You know, because he walks in and he says some of the most inane things to people and gets away with it. If I said that some of the things that he says to some people, they would look at me and go get a baseball bat. But somehow Ron gets away with it. You know why? Ron gets away with it because the Holy Spirit uses him to reach people and catch them off guard and break down their defenses so that they will talk to him about things that they would never open up to me about, because I'm not willing to be used that way. There are all kinds of ways that we can touch people's lives if we will only see them for who they are. They are sheep. They are scattered. They are weary. They need someone to come along and say, "Here, come this way. Walk this way. Come with me." In a comforting way to say to them, "There is hope." Brent alluded many times this morning to the lack of hope in some of these countries. That same lack of hope is here. We need to bring the message here and there and to the uttermost parts of the world that there is hope. And the missionary call isn't just to go overseas. The missionary call is right here, verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I don't know why God has decided to bless our church the way he has. I don't know why he's brought in the people that he has brought in. I don't know what it is that has caused people to come and to visit our church and decide to stay here, but I do know this. In coming here, I hope that what they see is they see a group of people who love Jesus. That they see a group of people who so want to impact a world for Jesus Christ that they're willing to change the way they look at each other and others in order to be different, in order to be winsome, in order that people may feel a desire to be a part of what's going on here.